Welcome to Magic 8 Ball with Melissa and Michaela. I'm Melissa Withers, managing partner of RevUp Capital.
And I'm Michaela Camp, director of platform at RevUp.
And today we are talking about what happens when founders get tied up in knots. For me and for you, since you're with me almost all the time, 2024 was the year of the pretzel problem. I spent a lot of time working with founders who were already tied up in knots or doing everything that they could to avoid the fate. And Michaela, you know from our experience that the worst kind of pretzel out there is when founders seek or take capital into their business that's not a great fit. You know, with this kind of pretzeling, expectations around a company's needs, trajectory, and terminus all get stretched in ways that can be really hard to live with, very painful to live with. You know, and the trouble is that pretzels aren't just made in malice where, you know, evil investors come in and ruin your company, although that happens all the time. You know, pretzels can be made in ignorance and innocence. And who's more ignorant and innocent than a first-time founder, right? And so putting all the blame aside, the reality is the same, right? It's really hard to untwist a pretzel without breaking it, right? And this is kind of what, like, this is the pretzel problem, right? You know, Michaela, you sit in on a lot of pitches with me and you've seen eyes roll when a team pulls up crazy projections and plans. You've also been in the room when that same founder breaks down, you know, 10 minutes later and admits that they've been pressured to amp up their plans. You know, I think accused of being too small to be interesting, you know, kind of admitting that they themselves don't really understand what they're saying. So what's your thoughts on that?
Oh, well, first off, I've definitely been in those rooms and it's always tough to watch. And shopping a story you can't sell is one of the worst kinds of pretzels to twist yourself into as a founder. And I understand when you're pitching, there's a huge pressure to showcase that the absolute best version of your company, right? But like the harsh reality is promising outcomes that are completely unattainable, even under ideal circumstances, does way more harm than good. And I'll never forget this one pitch where a founder projected revenue growth from 400K to 17 million in like three years. And it was absolutely a record scratch moment for everyone in the room. Like the energy went from engaged and excited to ice cold because it was obvious to everyone that they didn't have rationale
or a plan
for how they'd get there. And it's such a missed opportunity because if they had been more realistic, the conversation could have been focused on the strategies and their strengths instead of what was it that you just showed us on that slide. And the sad part that I noticed was it felt like they knew that as they presented the projections, right? Like they were bracing for the skepticism. And I know you've seen this. What do you think drives founders to feel like they have to push these sky-high projections?
Yeah. You know, that company had a lot going for it and the founders weren't stupid. You know, I know that they were coached by mentors and advisors who take the bigger is always better bus to school. You know, aside from being implausible, it wasn't even obvious that going from 400K to 17 million in revenue in 3 years was even necessary for this company to be very successful, right? And I think it wasn't even necessary. It's just when you get that coaching that bigger is always better, it just really gets into your thinking and manifests in ways that just truly undermine your credibility. You know, worse, there was little evidence that they could build any structure to support that kind of growth, even if hell froze over and it happened, right? Which creates another kind of erosion of credibility that's hard to come back from. You know, and I think when you get twisted into this go big or go home pretzel, you know, you lose track of what success really looks like, what matters to you, and what's going to make you a good investment, and what's going to help you build a good company, putting aside even what investors may or may not want, right? And I think the kind of most distressing part about this is these founders were likely coached to do this by investors who are never going to write them a check anyway.
Which is so sad.
Yeah. You know, you and I worked together this year on a great company that got caught up in a related problem, which is not fully understanding the downstream consequences of their funding decisions. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. And I think that company is such a clear example of how easy it is to get caught up in the momentum of fundraising without seeing the downside implications for the road ahead after raising so early. So they raised early, which gave them a head start, but the path to success turned out to be longer and more unpredictable than anyone expected.
Shocker.
Right? And while they're stronger now for everything they've been through, a lot of the money they raised initially was invested in the wrong places, right? And by the time they were back on the right track, like they had no money left to redirect.
Yeah.
Which puts them
like into gas in the tank.
Exactly. It puts them into a huge bind. And even though they had more traction and proof that they were right on the right path, like they could raise again.
Yeah.
But the founders didn't want to, because raising money again would have cost the founders majority ownership, which is no small thing.
Rock in a hard place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And on top of that, the further dilution of their shares would have meant they'd need a massive exit.
Yeah. Just to see anything flow to them.
Which would have been so, like, of course you don't want that.
Yeah.
So heading into 2024, there were obvious opportunities for growth for this company, but there was, as you said, no gas in the tank to capitalize on any progress they had made in the years previous. And in hindsight, the founders have been very vocal to us about wishing that they had raised more slowly with better advice on funding structures from the outset and turned out that go big or go home noise, which you hear everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's a tough lesson, but watching them navigate those challenges and come out stronger because of it has been really inspiring. And like, I definitely want to give them the kudos for turning it around. And like, it is a great reminder, though, that getting caught up in the wrong capital strategy can almost kill even the best of businesses.
Yeah. It's like, instead of like go big or go home, it's like go right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or go
take
home.
A left.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, absolutely.
And I think the other part of this, and it's so much of this is made harder to navigate for founders, is how everyone has a different definition of success, right? And I think you called this the "I want what you want, but not really" pretzel.
Sounds all right.
Tell me more about that, please.
Sounds like me. Yeah. Like, what really is success in entrepreneurship, right? Is it proving that a new technology works? Is it improving someone's lives? Is it saving lives? Is it being the most beloved tool in an industry? Or is it making investors money? Or is it being the first person in your family to own a home, right? It depends on who you ask. Like, in the real world, all of these things can be seen as success. But in real life, these outcomes rarely happen all at the same time, rarely in tandem. And sometimes they are actually mutually exclusive. Very difficult to make all of those things happen at the same time. So when there's misalignment in how success is being measured, the consequences of the "I want what you want, but not really" pretzel can be really devastating. And I'll give you a real example from 2024. I work with a founder who was ready to sell when a buyer came along. The offer had significant upside for the founder. It was a fair price, lots of resources to bring the company's product to a much larger group of companies, which is why we all start our companies in the first place. A great role and meaningful compensation for someone who hasn't had a paycheck in more than 5 years. And while the offer was good for the founder, it was rejected by the preferred stockholders who sit on her board.
Of course it was.
Right? They were just hell-bent on having an all-cash transaction, caring far less about founder comp, and they did not want to hold equity in the acquiring organization. And being kind of that new money investor, you know, they really were looking for those outsized returns that get kind of attract people to investing in the first place. And so the investors just felt that they could wait for a better deal to come along. Like, end of story. Just that was the end of it. This founder could not pursue this sale without their agreement. You know, many months later, there's been no better deal. And the experience has irrevocably changed the founder's relationship with the board. But worse than anything, it's really dimmed her hope for what the future might hold. And if I've learned anything after a decade of professional investing, it's that a founder without hope is the greatest risk factor for failure in startup land ever.
Yeah.
Right. Michaela, you need to please lift us up from this pit of despair where I have left us, please.
I mean, I can certainly try. But yeah, as you said, like, I do want to hammer home the point. There is plenty of blame to go around for turning entrepreneurship into a pretzel factory in 2024. And yes, avoiding the pretzel problem is complicated, but in attempt to raise us up, it's not all doom and gloom.
That's true.
I promise. And here's how. I think we can focus on how to make fewer pretzels in the future. And how we do that and how fewer pretzels get made is when we change how mentors, investors, and educators talk about fundraising, especially to first-time founders, right? It doesn't hurt to have more candid conversations about scenarios like the ones we've talked about, because a lot of people don't talk about them. And Melissa, to this point, you've always hammered home to me the importance of finding good mentors and getting rid of bad ones. How does that come into play when avoiding the plague of the pretzels?
Well, I think this is where we really, like, mentors need to change, right? I think If you're not good at something and you don't intimately understand it, you shouldn't be giving founders advice about it. And I know that seems obvious, but I see every day well-meaning people who are really good at certain things, you know, extrapolating that into areas of business development that they're just not qualified to give advice on, right? And if a mentor and an educator doesn't have a drawer full of examples about how bad pretzels get made, then maybe they shouldn't be giving advice at all. Right. You know, I think for founders, a good pretzel prevention approach, you know, is to find a capital mentor, right? This is someone who can riff with you on all the kinds of capital that you might use and encounter on the journey of building your business, you know, rather than being myopically focused on raising linear rounds of equity. You know, but I think above all, you got to be honest with yourself. You know, if you don't match the pattern, twisting into contortions is probably not going to give you what you really need or fix your problem. You know, it's kind of a fool's errand, and it's more likely to attract the wrong things into your business than the right things. You know, because after all, like knots are for pretzels, not for people.
Exactly.
But Michaela, since 2024 has taught me that logic, reason, and history are useless in guiding human decision-making, really all we can do is turn to the magic eight ball and see what the magic eight ball has to say about 2025.
All right, magic eight ball, let us know. Will fewer founder pretzels get made in 2025? As I see it, yes.
Yes.
There you have
yes.
it, folks.
Yes.
The magic eight ball has spoken.
I guarantee you, if it was me holding that eight ball, it would have said no.
Like I said, brought us out of the pit yes. of despair.
Hope for the end of the pretzel problem in 2025. So
you'd love to see it.
All right. Well, that's it. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.